Thanks for tuning in to the Captain's Log. As always, we're here to have a good time. My comedian buddy and guest today, Darnell Rawlings. What's up? What's up? What's
up? If y'all know the deal, you'll already know it's real out here. We're in the streets. And I'm in Florida where it's supposed to be super moist. The humidity is supposed to conquer this ashiness, but it's not doing anything. But we're in the streets.
Hi, I'm live, honey. I'll talk to you in a minute.
Okay, I just wanted to say hey.
Ah, it's funny. So anyway.
Just so dismissive. I'm live, honey.
She's too much.
That's
She's
how you get rid of women much, nowadays. I'm live, honey. Talk to you in a minute.
It's too much. It's too much. All the time. And
yes,
they're
sir.
Just coming out to me.
I'm live, too. And I'm never live. So we're going to see how many people love me on this joint. Three people. That's one. Hana Dola set.
That Tasa Yosu. What are you singing?
That's Korean. Sing? That's counting in Korean. Hana Dola set net Tasa Yolbe Ibliam. I can count to seven, lucky seven.
What do you date Korean women? How do you know that?
First off, I didn't date Korean women. There were people that appreciated my presence and wanted me to give them some inspiration and some, what else? Inspiration and motivation.
Yeah.
If that constitutes
Starting
dating, then in my past, I've have inspired and motivated some women.
They happen to be Korean?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was stationed in Korea, Kunsan, Korea.
No way.
Yeah, years ago. So long ago, I don't want to admit it. But anytime I show pictures of me in the military, people think that it was from MASH or Vietnam.
Wow.
Yeah, Air Force. People don't know that. Air Force. And I used to be a cop in the military, and I used to answer for all the Koreans out there. I used to answer the phone.
I want to thank you for the service.
Thank you.
I really do.
White people love to thank you for the service. Really? You can do anything. You can date somebody in their family. You know what? I just had an orgasm. I want to thank you for your service with my family, Donnell.
Is that how it is?
Yes. That's how it is.
And you it's take it, place. Though. You take it?
Yeah.
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 You should.
Figuratively, not literally.
How long did you serve?
I did 4 years. Of my first duty station, I did basic training in San Antonio, Texas, Lackland Air Force Base. My first duty assignment was Bolin Air Force Base in Washington, D.C. I mean, Kunsan Air Base in Kunsan, Korea. That was for a year. And then I finished my tour at Bolin Air Force Base in Washington, D.C.
And so during that time, were you trying to do stand-up or what?
I don't think I was ever trying to do stand-up. I was always the funniest person, whether it was in my squadron, whether it was in my rank, whether it was in high school.
I can imagine you goofing. Because like some comics really aren't that funny unless they're on stage. You would just happen to be funny all the time.
Yeah, and it was just like, for anybody that grew up with me, nobody is surprised what I chose as my profession.
Really?
Like if you met somebody that went to school with me and you told them I was a stand-up comic, they would be like, oh, that makes so much sense. He was always funny. But I never had aspirations to do stand-up. It all just happened by chance.
And back then, like, there wasn't Comedy Central. There wasn't a lot of inspiration, right? You just happen to be a funny dude.
Yeah, the only inspiration for me to be a comedian then is like not to go to jail. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't trained in anything. So, it wasn't, Comedy Central didn't exist then. You know,
Now they have so much. Like kids can go, which I think is great.
Yeah.
Kids can actually go and like express themselves in comedy where years ago, like they didn't really know what to do with that.
And you might know what to do, but you didn't have any.
Yeah, you had nowhere to do it.
You had no outlets.
Right.
And that's one thing that's the beauty about social media and even what we're doing right now. You have an opportunity to create your own platforms and people can see what you do. When I first started, it was NBC, ABC, CBS. And if you weren't connected with any of those, then you were just an underground comic that was, in my case, doing like the chitlin circuit. But now there's so many. And so if you don't know what the chitlin circuit
Wait,
is.
Wait, but I need to know what the chitlin circuit is.
Well, the chitlin circuit is, well, you know.
I know what it is, kind of, but I want to know.
Well, chitlin circuit
what it's
is
like.
It's the underground urban scene. It was a good circuit. Even when I started to get a name for myself, and I'm at the point now where I mentor people, and I tell them, I was like, if you want to really get strong and build your character, do some black rooms, because the black rooms are some of the toughest audiences to perform for, but when they love you, you're never going to get
people
the
people used to say the exact same thing about Marco Island, right?
Yeah.
Because you had to really demand their attention because there was so many things going on.
It's like,
was that not the only national comedy club in the country that had a kitchen and a bar in the showroom?
Now, let me tell you something. Marco Island was just like a majority of the urban rooms.
Yeah.
It's like you had to deal with a lot of things. Like in the case of the Marco Island, the first club, you had to deal with the blender. You had to deal with the audience. But like you said, the only ones that made it are people that knew how to work that room. And you have people that would go to those rooms and make excuses. It's too loud. You know what the hell is going to be when you go in there.
Yeah.
But can you command an audience? Because if you a ripper.
Josh Prey. By the way, you need to know Josh Prey. Josh Prey is a local guy here out of Immokalee, Florida. A million and a half followers.
A Florida that most black people don't even know what it is.
A million and a half followers on Facebook. And this dude is a celebrity and a comic. And he is hysterical. I should hook you up with him. You love this dude.
Okay.
Good dude. He's traveling right now all around the country with Jeep. You know Jeep cars?
I don't know Jeep, but when I was in the military, that's the term we used, and it was called just enough experience to pass.
Josh, you can take that, brother. Yeah. Just enough experience to pass.
Yeah, do that if you go to any military joint, say I'm a Jeep, and they're going to start getting you to pick up fallopian tubes from different places.
My ADD kicked in, but I'm going to tell you. Here's what I used to tell the comics that used to make up excuses about the room. I used to say, if you're funny, that means you're funny. People will laugh. If you are not funny and you have a few good jokes, then maybe you're not going to hold their attention as well. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
And I'm telling you, I never had an issue in that room because I came from a circuit where...
Because you crushed.
You have to snatch their attention and keep them the entire time you're on stage. But, you know, like they say, excuses are like assholes. Everyone has
Absolutely.
One. And when it comes to excuses, you got two excuses. You got a good excuse and a bad excuse. And at the end of the day, they're both excuses.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, I mean, I'm sure everybody asked you, and I just have to ask you. Tell me about, like, the startup of you on the Chappelle Show. I mean, that was your launch, really, to stardom at the time. I mean, now...
I had some before Chappelle Show. I had some good things.
You did.
But that was the one show that everybody watched, so it was a platform where everybody could see me. But my connection with that show was years ago, Neil Brennan, who was co-executive producer, co-writer, and one of Dave's good friends, he had wrote the movie Half Baked. And after Half Baked, he got a couple of deals where he wrote some scripts, but they weren't getting the green light.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do something. He wanted to direct, but he didn't have a body of work. And before that, he was a PA for A Living Color. He would go across the country and he would scout talent. And he saw me at an audition and he thought I was a funny guy. So when he was trying to get somebody to be in this short film he wrote, he reached out to my manager. He was like, you think Donnell would be down with this? And at the time I was doing HBO's The Corner. I had some good things. And I was like, and I didn't know Neil was already loaded. I was like, I know you can't afford to pay me, but if you're ever in a situation where you can throw me a bone, do it. This was for me, you know, doing the short film for him. So 2 months later, after doing the film, he said, I'm working this project. I said, what's the name of it? He's like, I don't have a name. I was like, well, when you get a name of it, let me know. And then a month later, he called me and said, I'm doing this show. It's called Chappelle Show. Would you be interested in being a part of it?
Did you know Dave at the time?
Yeah, I knew him.
Okay.
Yeah, but Neil was the guy that pushed for me to be on the show. Of course, with Dave's approval. You can't just put somebody on the show without Dave approving it. But it was that connection that I had with Neil that made the connection with me on Chappelle Show. Because me and were friends. We were past each other in comedy clubs, but we never talked about working together. We just respected each other for being two funny guys from Washington, D.C.
It's interesting in the business because everybody's flying around the country all the time. How many flights literally do you see? Oh, that's he's stand-up, whatever. Like, nonstop, right?
On the flights?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of my friends fly private, so I don't. I never run into the airport. Bump into Dave at the airport.
No, but always, other comics that are traveling.
It's so
funny because
when I was coming here yesterday, I flew in, and I ran into Theo Vaughn.
Oh, that's my boy. Dude. Yeah, is he not the funniest?
Yeah, he's a funny. He's one of the guys that I could watch. Some comics you see him one time, you've probably seen him for a lifetime. But Theo Vaughn is like, his stand-up is like, it feels like it's just a natural conversation.
This dude.
They just have, he's a funny, just a natural, just a funny person. Good guy, too.
I had Theo open for Pauly Shore like 15 years ago. It was probably his fifth time on stage, and he still crushed.
Yeah.
And like, he has no stand-up. Now he's like, he's amazing.
But he's, some people, you got some people that have to sit down and write all day to be funny. And some people, all they got to do is turn the mic on.
Yeah.
Theo is one of those people that if he turns the mic on, he's just going to be funny.
Absolutely.
it's going to be funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's definitely.
So how much do you write?
I don't like.
Because, I mean, you're funny 24/7, so that's the.
I don't write as much as I just try to be a part of life. I think if you enjoy life and you, in life, comedy will present itself. You know, I don't have a system like, I write this joke, this is set up. And all my writing, I usually, it comes from me performing. I perform, whatever, even when I'm not doing, like, I average 5 or 6 headlining shows a weekend. But then when I'm in L.A. or New York, I still work out. So my writing process is performing.
And you don't even write anything down.
I do bullet points. I'll be like, if a premise hits me.
Yeah.
If something, like, you know, if something hits me that I think is funny, I'll write that down and I'll just try to remember before I go on stage. But I'm not the guy that's going to go in there with a pen and paper. And you can tell that he's practicing stuff. People never know when I'm working out. Because I'm never like, okay, that's a good one.
Right.
I should keep that one. I just, like, let that conversation flow.
Wow. So.
Somebody brought me to Montana. Montana.
Hey. I don't know. It's supposed to be following the GPS to pick up your at the airport here. To pick up the rental car.
Yeah, and they're going to pick up
my bike. And I don't think I did the right thing.
Yo, that reminds us, Spike. We do the right thing. Make a U-turn. We'll get in check.
Let me see. If I go to make a U-turn here, it's going to take you back. Oh, we need to get on 75. That's what we need to do. That makes sense. We just missed the turn by one.
We're good to go. We got time.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, man, this is one of those places I love to come. The vibe is always good. Food is good.
What did they tell you the first time? I always wonder. What did the agency tell you about coming here the first time?
It's like, it's a nice place. They say this is the stop you make before you go to heaven. And 9 times out of 10, you'll get laid. I don't know if
that's a good selling point.
I'm going to put
that in my offer.
Yeah, it's like, yo, you want good seafood and get laid and laugh. Go to Off the Hook Comedy Club.
And so, but the last time you were here, you were at the new club in Naples, right?
I was, yeah.
But I didn't have my vodka in my rum and gin, the new
vodka.
Yeah, I make that now.
I saw that, and I'm going to get gifted a couple of bottles.
You are going to get gifted a couple of bottles. You know I have to let you take pictures with it, though.
Yes.
I got to get a couple promo shots, man.
He's a white ditty right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on. I had a vodka 12 years ago. I think that was before Diddy.
So he ripped it from you?
Yeah, he took it from the captain.
He got incentive because he said, I'm going to go down there and get laid, and I'm going to rip this vodka label off. But is it good? What's the feedback? People enjoy
it? It's been on fire, man. I mean, we're in 66 locations. I can't get out of, like, the Southwest Florida realm right now. I have some distributor. Actually, next week, I'm going to Tampa, North Tampa, Clearwater Beach, and I'm going to be with the new distribution company that I have. And that should, you know, really see. Like, I'll see how that goes. Because right now, locally, like, everyone kind of knows.
It's like an IPA.
Yeah.
In Chicago. Yeah.
Right.
Locally brewed.
Yeah.
So is it distilled?
It's 48 times filtered. It's a premium product. It's all natural, all organic, sugar free.
Right.
And we have a gin.
White women, did you hear that?
Yeah, 96 calories.
Organic. You got vegan vodka.
That's 30 less than Tito's, baby.
Tito's is my favorite vodka.
I'll beat it.
All right, well, we're going to see.
You're going to take it and you're going to be like, damn.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Tito's blew up quick. This is like 10 years, right?
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. But, you know, it's interesting that people got behind that right away, and that's kind of where I need to be. I need to figure out how was it and why was it that they got behind the Tito's brand right away? Because I'm out there, and people are...
It's probably something, my guess would be, it's something that made Tito's cool.
Yeah.
Like the same thing like with Apple products, you know what I'm saying? I'm quite sure Apple always had competition, but when it came to the cool factor,
right,
which Steve Jobs really pushed, you know what I'm saying? He had something that was probably, in terms of technology, equal to like Microsoft, but the iPhone and the iProducts, he just made it cool. Even when he first came out, when he had the Star Wars type setup, it's like, our product is going to be cooler than anything out there on the market.
Right. And it was. But the first few IMAX, though, they were strange.
Yeah, but it still was cool. They were strange,
they were,
but
they're
still the coolest. Yeah,
yeah, they were at the time. You're right.
And that's when they made computer. Because I grew up when I took a computer science class years ago. When you had to learn.
Yeah, the Macintosh.
But I'm talking about before Macintosh, when you had to really know how to program. But Macintosh made it simple.
Right.
And that was their thing. How do we make this complex system, simple, where you could just push one or two buttons. And that's
television, Nintendo. And like right now, these kids, they don't understand. Like, we used to watch TV, listen to the radio, and if we got Super Mario Brothers, that was the jam.
Yo, I know. I used to watch radio. No. Yeah, you knew. Wait, I'm sorry. What did you say again?
No, I'm just saying. Times have changed so much. How do you connect with the audience that, you know, you're telling jokes that they literally may not have grown up in that time frame?
I keep my stuff fresh. Because I don't do too much. Like, it's so easy to be like, to do jokes. Like, I remember when I was coming up, I don't do that because I don't want to date myself.
Yeah.
I might do some small references, but I'm a part of pop culture. You know what I'm saying? I have, like, I keep young people, energized people, and I learn from them. But I'm on the social media. I'm Googling to find out what's the hot stuff. And I don't date myself with back in the day stuff. I try to talk about things that everybody can relate to. That's a tough one. One of the best compliments I had is about 2 years ago. I was at a grocery store, and there was this woman, middle-aged woman, and she was with her son. He probably was like 14, probably 15, 16. And she saw me. She was like, "Oh my God, it's the guy from Chappelle's Show." He said, "No, it's not, Mom. That's the guy from Guy Court."
Geico. That's right.
So I had
That's
two
true. Jokes.
I was lucky enough to be a part of two iconic shows that extended to two different generations. And the hardest thing to do, to go back to your point, is to stay relevant. You know, you have people, not that saying everybody can get hot, but people can get hot. But can you maintain? And for all the young comics out there that are excited about the success they have this year and they got millions of followers, whatever, you know, a true test, if you can maintain this career for 25 years.
Oh, yeah, it's a different world.
Still stay relevant and still make an honest living. That is something to be said about, because there's not too many of those guys out here.
No, not at all. And you see them come through the club one time and you're like, I don't think they'll ever be back.
Yeah.
You know, you get that feeling right away.
And wait, you mean?
You'll have a comic come through and be like, yeah, but... or you have them come through twice and they tell the same jokes that they told 5 years ago, and you're like, yeah, that's good. Okay, well, we're not going to do that again.
One thing anybody has followed me.
I know right away what you're going to say.
That you're going to get at least 80%, maybe even 90% yep. of new stuff.
Absolutely.
And like, you know, the comedians you're talking about, I call them the money comics. They just do it for the money.
Yeah.
They don't take any chances. But like, I could do a show, and if I got... And I'm sure this weekend there'll be people that see me before. If I'm looking in the audience and I'm seeing one or two people that see me before, my brain is already programmed to, I can still flip it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'll do like some like big rock groups and stuff. They'll give you a couple classics. But at the same time, you're trying some other stuff. And I just don't feel complete. I don't feel complete unless I'm turning my material over and giving some people fresh and something to talk about. Let's give them something to talk about. Well,
I know that Off the Hook Comedy Club this weekend, get tickets to see Darnell, offthehookcomedy.com. Darnell's my guest on the Captain's Log podcast. This is your first time that we did the show?
This is my first time.
Really?
I've done everything. This dude has a million businesses. He was like, yo, I got a French fry commercial. I got a French fry truck. I got anything. You talking about somebody that's all... he's the entrepreneur of entrepreneurs. He makes me want to change my name from Ashley Lawrence to Ashford Lawrence. Can I interest you in some vodka by chance, Mr. Lawrence?
I got to keep it real. I got to keep it fresh.
Keep it real. Keep it real, but don't keep it wrong. Keep it right.
Yeah, keep it right. And then you have a baby now that's 3 years old.
A toddler now.
How's that changing your life?
It's making me, I didn't think I could ever be more focused, but my son has made me even more focused because for years, I've been doing it for myself or maybe somebody I was dating, but now I have an extension of me. Whatever legacy I create, he's going to keep it going, whether he goes into entertainment or not. But it really feels like I have... like I'm living for something and not just myself, because this business is a very selfish business. You have to care. If you're in this business and you don't love yourself as much as anything else, then it's not going to work for you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have to love yourself. You have to know that you are the best thing since since
you have to be a self-promoter.
Self-promoter.
You have to be out there telling people how freaking funny you are.
You can tell it too, but when you tell them, you got to show it too, because a lot of but then they don't show it.
Correct. And what do you think about all these comics that are doing like the 3 to 5 minute, 8 minute clips they're releasing on Instagram, social, all the social media sites, Facebook, whatever, to get more popular? I'm a fan of it because I think if people see that much of your material and they laugh, they're going to want to go and see.
They're going to want to go, but I'm going to give it. If I do stuff, if I show material on stage, it's going to be like, I don't have a problem with topical stuff, throwaway stuff, but then your classics and stuff like that, them real deals, I want to save them. I like to save them for a show. So
yeah.
I'm with the fact that social media gives you opportunity for people to get a taste of it, but don't give them the jewels. You know,
and don't now, give them all the good stuff.
Yeah, and it's so messed up now because now people, social media is so big now, people feel comfortable with going to shows and try to, like, they show your show live, they want to tape your stuff, and it's a situation where you want to get that promotion, but at the same time, you want people to go pay to see that show, so.
And you also
it's
don't,
a fine line.
They're also fans, so you don't want to, like, make a fan say, oh, Darnell was a jackass, he made me do this, made me do that, but they should respect the fact that this is what you do for a living.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, with anything, you should ask anything. The thing about live now, people feel like they can just make you a part of their story. I'm not a part of your movie.
Right.
And if you want me to be a part of your movie, not saying I will or I won't, but you have to at least ask me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the people that come up to you, like, can I get a picture? I'll take a picture with anybody. But then the ones like, oh, now you're live. Hey, guys, say what's up. Don't force me to be a part of your movie.
That's, I do that sometimes because I am live so much sometimes in public and people will come up to me. So sometimes I do that approach happens to come about. But I'm not going to run up to somebody and be like, yo, we're live right now. Say hi. Like, no.
I mean, just like, you know, as much as
there is etiquette.
There's etiquette and we're public figures, but at the same time, you know, we want to be respected and we're in a different situation from you because we have to come in contact with so many people and what they think about us means a lot to us, but at the same time, don't push it. Be respectful. Yep. That's the only thing I said.
Guys, Darnell Rawlings, my guest, a.k.a. Ashy Larry.
Ashford.
You got it. Don't miss him this weekend at Off the Hook Comedy Club. His show is spectacular. You will piss your pants. We'll walk you out the back door if that actually happened. But anyway, see Darnell, and thanks for watching. This is the Captain's Log. Love you guys. Be good.